But let's just get into the word for a few minutes. Amen. You know, I was looking at the timeline of what Jesus went through. Of course, we know that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane at night. And all through the night, things were happening to him. But the timeline, that I'll start from 4 a.m., it says that he was on trial before the high priests. And then from 6 to 8 a.m., he was on trial before Pontius Pilate and Herod. And then from 8 to 8:30, he carried his cross. We actually, when Pastor Jen and I went to Israel, we walked that, and my sister here, Amy, she was on the trip as well. We actually walked that path that Jesus walked with his cross, and it's so steep. Like, it would have been, you know, so hard going. But of course, we know Simon from Cyrene helped him carry it. And who knows what time Jesus was actually put on the cross? Does anyone know that? It's the third hour, 9 a.m. So, you know, I was kind of just conscious of this as I was getting ready this morning about the different things that the Lord Jesus went through, you know, in that 24 hours. And it was at lunchtime that darkness descended upon the land. Imagine that. Imagine being there in Jerusalem and him hanging on the cross and darkness descending on the land. Like, surely the fear of God would have been put in the people that had helped put him there, right? But then 3 p.m. was when Jesus dies, and it says at the ninth hour, he cried out. And this line gets me every single time I read it. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, I don't think it was the physical pain that would have been the hardest thing for Jesus, although we know it was obviously excruciating. It actually says in Isaiah that he was marred beyond form, like he didn't even look human. He was that, you know, disfigured. But just this line, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then Jesus said, it is finished, and he gave up his spirit. So Jesus, God made him who knew no sin, right? Like, he was perfect. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Doesn't that just make you just want to go flat on your face and like his mercy and his grace? Oh, hallelujah. I'll just put my first slide up. I actually share this on my Facebook page every Good Friday. It's funny, on my Facebook page, I've got 90% unsaved friends. So, you know, as the Lord leads, I kind of just put little things here and there. I don't get on and preach because that can be a bit off-putting. But, you know, just the simple truth like this. Because I couldn't save myself, it's a Good Friday. Amen? Every one of us was going in a path opposite to the Lord. There was no other way that it could be done. The cross was God's rescue mission for all of humanity. Amen? The cross was God's rescue mission for all of humanity. And the first point I want to make this morning is that his sacrifice was sufficient. Can we just all say that? His sacrifice was sufficient. So where sin brought separation from God, you know, starting with the very first people that chose to leave God's perfect design, his death brought forgiveness and connection with God again to those who would accept Jesus. And if we can just open our Bibles to Romans 6, 10 to 11. I do have it on the slides as well. But let's just look at this scripture, look at this truth here that's presented. Romans 6, 10 starts out by saying, "For by the death he died to sin, ending his relation to it once and for all." And I just love this next part. "And the life that he lives, he's now living to God in unbroken fellowship with him." I remember when I first seen that, that's the Amplified, in the Word, where it says unbroken fellowship with him. And I thought, wow, so I can actually have unbroken fellowship with the Lord even though I've got stuff going on in my life. And because let's go to the next verse. You know, we can read that and go, oh, that's nice for you, Jesus. Okay, so, you know, yet you've got unbroken fellowship with God. But then verse 11, it says, even so, consider yourselves dead to sin and your relationship to it broken, but alive to God and living in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ Jesus. The New King James says, likewise. The NIV says, in the same way. So, you know, in the same way that Jesus has fellowship with the Father, that scripture is saying we have the same unbroken fellowship with the Father through the cross. Like, what an amazing truth to get hold of. But of course, we know that the enemy wants to clog us up with shame, condemnation, inferiority, I'm not enough, this is where I've gone wrong, right? But the scripture says we've got unbroken fellowship with him. What am I saying this morning? That the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross was sufficient for our sin. Amen? Psalm 103:10 to 12 says, he is not dealt with us according to our sins as we deserve, nor rewarded us with punishment according to our wickedness. Now, just stop there. Sometimes we read that verse, he is dealing with us according to my sin, or he is dealing with me according to my sin, right? Isn't that the way the enemy would have us think that we need to relate to God? He is dealing with me according to my sin. It's not what the verse says. It says he has not dealt with us according to our sin as we deserve, nor rewarded us with punishment according to our wickedness. Verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear and worship him. Verse 12, can we all read verse 12 out together, please, church? It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I'm telling you this morning, church, that his sacrifice on the cross was more than enough. Hallelujah. That's something to just get so excited about. You know, I was thinking about this and how for a lot of my life, I grew up in a Christian home, but I really didn't have an understanding of the grace of God and of the mercy of God and how that was God's character. I really did think God was dealing with me according to my sin. And so for so much of my teens and my early adult life, I was under this heaviness and just, oh, I just feel like I'm never measuring up, God, you know? And it's like, say if we have a mortgage and we completely pay off the debt, last payment, done and dusted with the bank, close the account, there's nothing there. It would be like if I tried to keep going to the bank and saying, can I just make what, like just one more, there's nothing there, like it's done, right? When Jesus said it is finished, that's what he meant. He said, now we have a peace and a reconciliation to hold on to. It's such good news, right? You're not going to hear this in religion. The enemy would want you to think God's dealing with you according to your sin, but it's just not scriptural. Mercy was always his intention. Can we just all say that together? Mercy was always his intention. Isaiah 30, verse 18 says, therefore the Lord waits expectingly and longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he waits on you, he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord God is a God of justice, and blessed, happy, fortunate are all those who long for him, since he will never fail them. Can I just ask you a question? Is that your impression of God? Is that how you see God? So when we mess up, when we have family members mess up, this is what we need to be thinking. He's just waiting to pour his mercy and compassion on us. You know, if when we mess up, and I'm not going to say if, but when, because we all mess up, right? If I think that he's going to give me what I deserve, then I don't really have an understanding of what happened at the cross. Because he doesn't give me what I deserve, he gives me what Jesus deserved, right? Because Jesus took our place. And I just want to finish with the story of the prodigal son, if that's all right. I don't have this scripture up, so if you can all just turn to your Bibles, this will be the last one. Luke chapter 15. Who's familiar with the story of the prodigal son? It's such an amazing story of what of the Lord's heart for humanity. Luke 15, verse 11. And it says, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of my goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered together on a journey in a faraway country, and he wasted his possessions on prodigal living. Who's been there? I know I have. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. Verse 17 says, and then he came to himself and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Verse 18 says, I'll arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Can I just get Greg to come up here just for a little demonstration? I don't know if this is going to work because you're quite tall, but and so I need this here. I don't know if you guys have seen this demonstration, but this is a picture of what the Lord has done for us in Christ. If we just go on to the Father's reaction to the Son who had gone the other way. Verse 20 says that he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring in the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and now is found. And so this is often what we get a picture of, you know, when we mess up or when we've gone the other way. You know, we think that the Lord's heart, or we take on a mindset of, you know, yeah, look at you, you messed up, you know, shame on you, and you're dirty, rotten, and can't believe you did that. But that's not God's heart. God does this. And that's a picture of being clothed in, first of all, the righteousness of God. Like, wow, we are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Father had compassion on him. He clothes us in his mercy. He clothes us in his kindness. He clothes us in his love. Amen. And that's the message of the cross, the message of forgiveness. Hallelujah. So why don't you just all stand this morning? Thanks, hubby. And before we come and grab communion, I just want to put an invitation to anyone out here this morning. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you never invited him into your heart, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. And, you know, that invitation, it's not an invitation to become, a member of a church or an invitation into a religion. It's an invitation to receive the forgiveness and the mercy of God into your life. Amen. So if you've never done that before, we're going to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray it all with me. And if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, please just come and let me know, because this can be the day where the Lord grabs you out of whatever mess you're in and puts you into freedom and into redemption. Amen. Just like I put that robe of righteousness on my husband, God wants to clothe you with his mercy and his love. And, you know, if you've heard any other message other than that, that's actually the true gospel. It's grace. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I think if, you know, we really put the true message of what God's done, it's like, who in their right mind would deny that? Oh, no, thank you, God, I don't want your forgiveness. No, thank you, God, I don't want your mercy. Oh, no, thank you, Lord, I don't want freedom. So let's just all pray a prayer. Bow your heads and close your eyes. And Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Just repeat after me. We come to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask for forgiveness. And we ask you to come into our hearts this morning. We confess that Jesus is Lord and that you've raised him up. And that he died for my sins. So I thank you this morning that you come into my life and make it all brand new. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please come and make yourself known to me. I'd love to have a chat with you and pray with you. But what we're going to do now, church, just briefly, if you just come and grab communion. Jer's just going to put a little bit of worship music on. Come and grab communion. And I want you to please find someone that you didn't come to church with. You know, we're all the body of Christ, right? And what we're going to do is you're just going to go and take communion with someone. And I just want you to tell them something that Jesus has done for you. Do you think we can do that? Let it be something from your heart. Just go and take communion with someone and just tell them something that Jesus has done for you. And then in your group, you can pray over the bread and the cup, whoever feels confident to do that, and you can take communion. Is that okay, church? Yep, amen. Okay, let's all just come up and take communion. Amen, amen. Well, we can continue this. I'll just dismiss the service. If you don't just mind going back to your seats, and I'll just close in prayer. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. So much to be thankful about. But church, let's just extend our hands. We're going to pray for Broome right now, just for a minute or two. We're going to pray for our community at this time. You know, James 5:16, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. What does it do? Makes tremendous power available. Hallelujah. So just stand if you can, church. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for Broome. Father, we thank you for the Kimberley region. Father God, we just thank you that every single one of us is positioned here for purpose, Lord God. We're positioned here for a reason, Lord God. And we just ask that you pour out your power on this region, Father God. We know that it says in your word that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon us so we could be witnesses. So we just thank you for that, Father God. We just ask for that anointing, for that grace, Father. We just bless our town. And Father God, we see this place filled on Sunday morning. Father, we thank you for salvations. We thank you for signs and wonders and miracles, Father God, not to be contained just in this building, Father God, but that they're out there, Father, because the power is to be a witness. And the church said, amen. Please hang around for our morning tea. God bless.